WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Let's get back to our conversation with Zach Braff, the star of NBC's medical sitcom Scrubs, and Bill Lawrence, who created the show. Zach Braff also wrote, directed, and starred in the film Garden State. I asked him how long he'd been interested in making movies.
I went to film school. I set out to make movies, and when I graduated, I moved to New York, and I was doing sort of all sorts of odd jobs, and I started auditioning as well. And that's when I started to get work in theater and independent film, and that eventually led me out to LA and to audition for Scrubs. But my initial intention when I went to school was to be a filmmaker. So I'd made a bunch of short films and had pieces of screenplays. And what happened was I got cast in Scrubs, and that day I quit my waiting tables job. And I was so thrilled and screaming to all my relatives and quit that night. And they called me the next day and said we weren't gonna start shooting Scrubs for 4 months. So I figured out a way to live on any of the money I had saved, and I sat down and really hammered out what would be the first draft of Garden State in those intervening 4 months.
The music on the soundtrack, I imagine mm-hmm. that was an awful lot of fun to make those choices, was it?
It was. I really compiled a CD of music that I really love. It actually does relate to Scrubs as well, because on the show, Bill and the writers are always looking for new music for the show. And I always like trying to find new bands, and I have a lot of friends who are musicians. So it's fun because I pitch music ideas to Bill for Scrubs as well. And in writing Garden State, I had lots of ideas for the music I wanted in the movie, and I compiled this CD that I gave out to when I was pitching the script around town and said, and this would be the ideal soundtrack.
And did you have to take any off because the rights were too expensive?
They were all too expensive at first, but then when we showed them, showed people like Coldplay and Simon and Garfunkel the scenes in which they were used, they really responded to it and were generous enough to let us use their music at a rate we could afford, which was pretty much nothing.
And in Garden State, how did you get to cast Natalie Portman and Ian Holm in particular?
I sent them a script. We never thought they would actually say yes. When you're casting something, you start with sort of archetypes. You say, okay, someone like Natalie Portman, someone like Ian Holm, and then you make long lists of the people that are like them. And we said, all right, well, let's obviously start with Natalie since she's the archetype we're using. And to my surprise, she really liked it. She wanted to meet with me. And we had lunch, and we just clicked, and she said yes.
Are you guys still together as a couple?
So far, Bill has me dating two different women I've acted with.
I made that up.
No, Natalie and I are not together as a couple. We're friends. We're very good friends.
And you and Ian Holm?
I am dating Ian Holm. Great kisser.
Zach, are you directing an episode of Scrubs right now?
I'm about to. I'm on Monday. It'll be my first directorial shot at Scrubs.
We were trying to work some of the stuff out on the way over here in the car.
And
we're
already bickering. Is this something that you wanted to do?
It's something I've always wanted to do. I joked to Bill that Garden State was my $2.5 million audition reel to direct Scrubs. I love the show, and I love the humor of it, and I think a lot of times, we get a new director every week often that'll come in and doesn't know the show as well as we all do. So I think there's times when, since I totally, I feel like I really understand Bill's sense of humor and the way that he likes to shoot things, that it would be a good job for me to try out. And I'm excited to have my first shot at it.
I went from overnight from being somewhat annoyed as to how I was going to get out of the situation of letting Zach direct an episode, and then I saw his movie, and now we're lucky to have the guy. He's so good. Said it before, nothing is more annoying than how talented he is.
For those of you out there, that's the way that Bill Lawrence gives a compliment to someone. That's the Bill Lawrence way.
But we're lucky to have him, and I'm hoping that this is a good enough experience for him that he'll do some more of them.
And my last question, which I shaved till last, I saved till last only because I'm so embarrassed by it. All the care that you guys put into the fantasy sequences, there was one probably from a couple of seasons ago now. Do you know which one I don't even have to.
I'm just anticipating that it's going to be one of the odd ones.
It is one of the odd ones, and it was one of the characters. And I believe in my memory it was Turk who was fantasizing about Sarah Chalk's character in a sort of a softcore porn nurse's uniform
nurse's outfit setup.
Sure. How's it going?
And I remember this 2 years later, partly because I just—
It was hot.
It was, for a regular family sitcom, it was like, wow, that whole thing was filmed and shot and performed in a way that I couldn't believe that you got away with on network TV. And I figure there must be a story there.
Now, you know what? The only story truly, David, is that by working in a creepy, deserted hospital, we've created this environment that the network people don't want to come and visit us. they honestly, because when they drop by there, it's just hot and muggy and no one's ever around. So we basically just shoot the stuff and try to really approach the line as much as we can. Like, we shot some romance scenes or sex scenes with Zach and Sarah Chalk over the years that I thought were, you know, at least PG-13, if not R-rated movie stuff.
I couldn't believe that someone that got on the air.
I know. And basically, we just turn it in at the last second and say, this is all we got. And they're just nice enough to go with it. And these things all lend themselves to the stories of me talking to the various censors and saying, no, it'll be totally tastefully done. Or, in fact, one of my cherished possessions, David, is they don't, you know, we language is always a tough barrier, especially when you're talking about network television versus cable, because cable, they swear and curse. And I think on network TV, you're allowed to say the word ass, but we had said it too many times in one episode. And the censor had sent me a note that I have framed on my wall that she wanted me to not use it 6 times, but to use it 3 times. So the note said, it listed all the page numbers that the word ass was on, and then the note said, please pick your ass. And I guarantee you that she had no idea of the comedy of it, but it's framed on my wall in my office.
Well, that's Bill awesome. Lawrence, Zach Braff, thank you for coming to Fresh Air.
Hey, thanks for having
thank
us, man.
Thank you.
Zach Braff and Bill Lawrence, the star and creator, respectively, of the NBC sitcom Scrubs. Braff's movie, Garden State, is still in theaters. Janet Leigh, who starred in Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho as the woman stabbed to death in the cinema's most famous shower scene, died yesterday at age 77. She had suffered from vasculitis, an inflammation of the blood vessels, for the past year. Leigh starred in her first film, The Romance of Rosie Ridge, at age 19. Her other films include Touch of Evil, The Manchurian Candidate, Bye Bye Birdie, and Houdini with Tony Curtis, the third of her four husbands. One of her two children from that marriage is actress Jamie Leigh Curtis. Janet Leigh is best known for her role as Marion in Psycho. Marion is an office worker who has stolen some money and is feeling very guilty about it. Norman Bates, played by Anthony Perkins, has invited her into his parlor for a sandwich. He's describing his problems with his invalid, seemingly mad mother. Marion has suggested that he put his mother in an institution.
Have you ever seen the inside of one of those places? The laughing and the tears, and the cruel eyes studying you. My mother there? But she's harmless. She's as harmless as one of those stuffed birds.
I am sorry. I only felt... It seems she's hurting you. I meant well.
People always mean well. They cluck their thick tongues and shake their heads and suggest, oh, so very delicately. Of course, I've suggested it myself, but I hate to even think about it. She needs me. It's not as if she were a maniac, a raving thing. She just goes a little mad sometimes. We all go a little mad sometimes. Haven't you?
Yes. Sometimes just one time can be enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Norman.
When Marion is suddenly and brutally attacked in the shower and killed, the audience is stunned. If the heroine of the movie is dead, what happens next? That was Psycho. And Lee will forever be a part of that indelible cinematic legacy. Terry spoke with Janet Leigh in 1999 and asked her about filming that famous scene from Alfred Hitchcock's horror classic.
Now, what kind of knife was Anthony Perkins using?
A big, long butcher knife.
Was it a retracting knife?
No, it didn't retract. It wasn't steel, however. I mean, it looked like steel, but believe me, it wasn't. Because what people forget is that we could not show penetration of a weapon. So you could never see the knife going in, so you couldn't use a retractable knife. It had no purpose. What you saw was you saw the knife go back and lunge forward, and then you showed the shot of either the shoulder or the tum or the thigh or whatever, and you in your mind imagined it going in there, and then you saw it pull back, and then you saw it go again, but you never saw it enter the body because it was not allowed.
Now, what did you do? What did you think about to get that look of horror on your face when Tony Perkins pulls back the shower curtain and is there with his knife? Was just being in the moment with Tony Perkins enough, or did you think of other things beyond that?
I think that it wasn't always Tony Perkins doing that with the knife, you know. He had different people doing it.
With stand-ins?
A woman at one point, mm-hmm. so that the audience could never get a fix on the character. I mean, they all had the same clothes and wig and everything on, but different people were in different shots so that the audience could never kind of get a glimmer of who it might be.
Oh, you mean so even on screen, we weren't always seeing Tony Perkins?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. He wasn't even there. Huh. He was in New York rehearsing a play, I think. And
that's very sneaky.
Yes, of course, but that's Mr. Hitchcock. And because if the same person did it all the time, there was a possibility, slim, but still a possibility, that perhaps the audience might guess it. So by having different people of around the same stature play it and do the scene, the audience was never able to, you know, kind of be long enough to say, oh, that's, couldn't do it. And I didn't really need a lot of other thoughts in my head, because when that shower curtain goes back and you look at this figure, and which is exactly what they did in the thing, you know, I mean, that's pretty frightening. I didn't have any trouble with that.
Janet Leigh, speaking to Terry Gross in 1999. She died yesterday at age 77. We'll hear more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Terry's interview with Janet Leigh, recorded in 1999.
Now, you were doing the shower scene, so although you weren't completely nude, you weren't exactly clothed either. You write that you wore moleskin.
Right.
Because
in
your
in the full shots, where you wanted the body outline, right? I wore moleskin over, where I should.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was, I think, one of the roughest things about that sequence, because it's, as you know, it's a nude colored, almost soft suede like or something on the outside. And then it's adhesive, obviously, on the inside. And, you know, taking it on and off was very, on tender skin. It was painful.
You know, you must have felt particularly vulnerable because here you are in the shower, you know, knowing that this actor with a big knife is going to be coming at you. But also you've got these crew guys looking at you from on top and from the sides, making you, I'm sure, feel more vulnerable. Were you able to use that vulnerability, knowing that the crew was looking at you when you were mostly naked? Could you work with that and use that for your facial expressions?
Well, I think you use everything, every tool available for whatever you're trying to portray. Certainly, I always noticed that during this shower sequence that everybody seemed to have a lot of assistance. It was it was a closed set, but there were more people than I remembered being on that set. I think each electrician had sort of two assistants, and each, you know, grip had two assistants. And one time, one of the most difficult scenes technically and also for me was at the end when she falls forward and grabs the shower curtain and goes over the tub. Her head is kind of against that tub, and he starts on a close-up of the eye and pulls back into a long shot. Now, we did it several times. We were in the 20 takes, I don't know which one, 24, 5, something. And because it wasn't automatic focus, it was hand focus, it was a very difficult technical shot for the camera operator who had to do the focusing as we pulled back. And it was hard for me because of trying to just have a non-live look in your eye because that's another story about I couldn't wear contact lenses, not enough time. So it was just a hard shot. And around the, 24th or 5th, somewhere in there, everything seemed to be going well. But the steam from the hot water had started to sort of melt the adhesive on the moleskin. And I could feel it pulling away from my bosom. And now, I knew that camera-wise, it would never show. But the guys upstairs on the rafters, the electricians up there, the gaffers, they were going to get a peek. And I thought to myself, well, what do I do? I feel it pulling away. This shot is going well. I don't want to do this shot again. And it's nothing they haven't seen before. So I just said, let it rip. And that was the shot that they printed.
How long did you have to stay there without blinking and, having your eye look dead?
Yeah, well, there was a point where the camera was far enough away that they couldn't tell whether I blinked or not. And he snapped a finger. I don't know in seconds how long, actually, but it seemed forever to me. And the awful thing was that the water was still dripping down my face, and it tickled. You know, when you have the drops coming down your face, and it would tickle, and I couldn't react to it, obviously.
What was your reaction the first time you saw the final cut of that scene?
I didn't see that scene separately. I saw the entire picture. But I have to tell you that I screamed bloody murder. I mean, I really did. Even though I read the script, I'd done the show, I knew what was happening, and I was still here. It just blew me away.
So you mean it was more frightening to watch the scene than it was to shoot it?
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because in shooting it, don't forget, you wait maybe 2 hours while they're setting up the shot. And, of course, the emotion is there when you're doing the scene. But then you relax again for another hour while they do the next setup. In the actual seeing of it, you saw the staccato. You saw the beat of the scene. You saw the mounting tenseness and the mounting, desperation, and that's where it hits you. And the music, seeing that all together, that was what made it emphatic, is putting all the editing together and the music, because otherwise, it was spread out over 7 days. This way I saw it in, 45 seconds? And it was terrifying to me. It's the truth that I've never realized in my life before how vulnerable one is in a shower, and I don't take showers. That's the truth. Because you are completely defenseless. I mean, one, you can't hear because the water's running. Two, unless you, you know, have different kind of curtains, which I'm sure afterwards I know they did. But at that time, you couldn't see out because of the curtain. And you're naked, you're defenseless. And it just terrified me.
Janet Leigh, speaking with Terry Gross in 1999. Janet Leigh died yesterday at age 77. Terry Gross returns tomorrow. I'm David Biancooley.